Now we're going to turn in our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus, 46, verse 46 of chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And amen, and God will bless the reading of his word. Let's just ask the Lord to make this word clear to us tonight. Help us to understand it. Give us clarity of thought. Father in heaven, this evening, we very humbly just come before you now and pray for your almighty help. We know the Paracletos said he would come alongside us and stand by us and help us. And we pray tonight, O Spirit of God, that you'll just do that. And whoever might hear this message tonight might not just hear it with the ear, but it might be heard to the heart. And that man and woman or a boy or a girl might respond to the word of God. Lord, this is your word. It's not my word. It's a word that doesn't belong to this church. It's the word of God. And you've promised, Lord, that as we cast the bread upon the waters, we can return after many days. It'll return to you, Lord. We pray tonight that this word would have free course. And Lord, that men and women would respond to this truth tonight. We ask thee, Lord, that you'll just bless me as I would take up this scripture and bring all things to my memory and give me clarity of thought. And this people, a clarity of thought to hear the word of God. Father, continue with us now, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Do you believe in chance happenings? Do you believe in things just happening by chance? You know, you get people and they say, oh, I just run into your man today by chance. Or I was going up the town and by chance I called into such and such and such and such. A chance happening. You know, some people, and they just believe in chance happenings. And some people come to church, maybe they've been invited along. Maybe they have strolled through the door. And they think to themselves, well, I'm just here tonight by chance. Just by chance. Do you know tonight, dear friends, there's no by chance with God. I believe in the providence of the Lord. I believe the Lord is everything in his control. I believe tonight that I'm to be here. at this particular time in this pulpit. I believe tonight that at this particular time, I'm to be speaking upon this particular portion of Scripture. I believe tonight that you are here at this particular moment in time. I don't believe you're here by chance. I believe that God has so ordered things that you're sitting in that seat where you are this evening. There's no by chance with God. It seems to be here as we read this portion of Scripture that there was very little reason for the Lord to come to Jericho. Did you ever think about that? Well, what was the point of him coming to Jericho? It says here, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples. Well, you would think, well, what's the point of him coming to Jericho? It just says he come to Jericho and right through it. You would think to yourself, well, what was the point? There was no sense to that at all. That was just by chance he came across this town and he went through it and that was it. The Lord didn't come to this town by chance. The Lord had a man to meet. And there was a man to meet the Lord of this town. Blind Bartimaeus. Now this town is called Jericho. And if you go back to Joshua chapter 6, you'll hear about this city. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that raises up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Cursed be the man before whom the Lord that rises up and builds this city. Jericho is the place of the curse. Place of the curse. And Jesus Christ sought to come to this city, which was known as the place of the curse. And you know, we wonder to ourselves, why did the Lord come to such places? Surely he could have bypassed this town. Surely he could have went some other way. What would he come to the city of the curse? Why did he reach down to the blind? Why did he reach down to the maimed? Why did he reach down to you? And why did he reach down to me? We could say that as well. Jesus Christ has come to the city of the curse. And you know, men and women, tonight, we live in a world that's cursed. We live in a world that's cursed by sin and debauchery and all sorts of crime and all sorts of evil. And yet it pleased God to send his only begotten Son into this world. Imagine what it must have been like for the Lord Jesus Christ to walk the scene of time. With all of this evil and sinfulness and debauchery going on in every street corner. Imagine what it was like for him to go past the harlot's house. Imagine what it was like for him to enter the temple where they were money changing. His father's house. Sure, it would rile you and me up. What did it not be like to the Son of God? And here he makes his way to the city of the curse. And it says he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and there was a great number of people there. And there's one man especially that was here, that's mentioned in Scripture, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the highway side begging. A blind man. A man that has been known all of his lifetime as a blind man, as a beggar man. And here this man got up this day as any other day. Perhaps his friends had guided him outside of the city walls, or maybe he had been often to this place where he sat each day, we don't know. But he got up and it was just another day. I have to go down here and have to have my little bucket and have to hold it out and have to ask for money that I might survive, that I might live another day. He had no pension plan, this man. No, sir. He just lived from meal to meal. Blind Bartimaeus. And we're going to look at this man tonight. And we're going to see the first thing concerning this man was his great opportunity. His great opportunity. He might have thought to himself, well, I'm just here the same as I've been here for days, for years. But he was not there by chance. He was positioned at the side of the road where the Son of Man would eventually pass by. That's why I'm saying tonight, there's none of us here tonight by chance. God in his providence has brought us along to this church this evening hour. And it's a great opportunity for this man because all of a sudden he hears the crowd. And who's in the midst of this crowd but the Son of God? The Son of Man. And tonight as we gather in this house, who are we going to speak about from this word? Who are you going to hear about tonight again? Are you going to hear about me? Are you going to hear about my family? Are you going to hear about the church? No, tonight, friends, we're going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not here by chance. Here's this man sitting by the highway side begging. And here we are tonight, and those that are listening tonight to this record, we're listening to God's word. And perhaps you've heard this word many, many times before, but God in his providence says, friend, I want you to hear it another time. I want you to listen another moment to this word that I've brought before you again. You notice that Bartimaeus was blind. And that's very significant. Because that's how we are. Not physically. Must be an awful thing to be physically blind. But we're blind spiritually to the things of God. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, but the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And I was just speaking on that last week in the prayer meeting. The blindness of men and women. How they're not aware. They're not aware of their need of God's salvation. Yes, they know about it. They know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have read their Bibles. And they know. And they have an understanding. But they're blind. They're not aware. He's just a man. He's just a prophet. He's just a priest. He's just a good person. The history books tell us, yes, there was a man, Jesus Christ, and he was crucified on a certain day at a certain time. But there needs to be more than knowledge. There needs to be an awareness. Awareness. And this man is blind, and so is humanity tonight. The devil, the god of this world, he's blinded the mind of them that believe not. He's got cataracts in the eyes.
cataracts in the eyes. We cannot see. And this poor man was in an awful condition. Now, if you've seen a blind man, you'd want to help, wouldn't you? Or a blind woman, you'd want to help them. And if a blind man or a blind woman was going up a steep cliff, and they were coming to the edge of that cliff, and you knew that they were going to go over the edge of it, you would shout to them, stop. Don't go any further. Because in front of you is danger and death. And that's just what we do tonight. That's what preachers do. They just shout out the warning note, stop. Stop. Well, when people come to church and they hear the word of God preached, they say, well, he was rough on me tonight. That was a rough word. Friends, it would be rougher if you go over and into the pit. God calls us in the word to be watchmen. And when we see the enemy approach, we need to blow the trumpet. So that my blood's not upon you. I need to blow the trumpet. The preacher needs to blow the trumpet. He needs to be truthful and honest with his people. He needs to take this word and he needs to present the truth of God's word. There's no compromising here. You need to hear God's word. I need to preach it. So here is this man, and he has a great opportunity. He may be blind, you know, but he had good hearing. He had good hearing. And praise God for that. Because what does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Oh, you may be blind tonight in your sin, blind spiritually, but God has given you a hearing system. And through the hearing gate, you can hear the word of God. And listen, you can be converted. Isn't that amazing tonight? Oh, you're blind spiritually, you're as dark as night. But my, you can hear the word of God. And there's amazing transaction takes place that only God alone knows how it works. When you hear the word of God and the Spirit of God takes that word and it goes down into your heart, mind, you're changed in a moment of time. Great opportunity. This man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, here's a man who knew what he needed. He needed God's mercy. Do you know that tonight? Have you that knowledge tonight? I don't need the cure. I don't need to be straightened out. I don't need psychological help. I need mercy. I need mercy. And when you get to that place where you realise that you need mercy, you're where blind Bartimaeus was. You're where blind Bartimaeus. You're starting to hear. You're starting to hear. You're starting to understand the word of God. Up until this time, perhaps, you have not understood. When the preachers have been ministering the word, there's sentences and there's statements that I just really don't know what he was getting about. But my, tonight you're starting to hear. You're starting to understand. Yes, this man, he needed mercy. He needed mercy and he knew it himself. Do you know tonight that you need mercy? Well, praise God, like the hymn writer, we can say, mercy there was great and grace was free. Thank God tonight there's mercy with the Lord. Maybe not get so much mercy with me. Or you. Have you ever said, oh, well, he deserves that. Or she deserves that. We've all said it. And meant it. Jesus says, I bring mercy. I bring mercy. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, things has really starting to happen in this man's life. Boy, if you were sitting in this meeting tonight and this was happening to you, I would start to get excited. You're starting to hear the word of God. You're starting to understand. You're starting to realize your need. Boy, I'd be getting excited. Do you know who else gets excited when that happens? The devil. Oh, boy, he gets excited. There's someone in the pew. There's someone listening. There's someone in the wee Bible class. There's someone in the Sunday school. And they're starting to prick up their ears. And they're starting to listen to God's word. And the devil's listening. The devil's listening here too. He had a great opportunity. But there was great resistance. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. There's always the crowd. There's always the crowd. Do you know, before I came to Christ, I suppose I was showing signs of going to meetings and talking perhaps about salvation. And my workmate said, McVicar, you're going to become religious. And they kept me going. And they taunted me. The crowd. And here's the crowd. And they're resisting the word of God. And the devil's using them. The devil's using them. Oh, don't you become a Christian. You're not going to enjoy life once you become a Christian. You'll have to go to church twice on a Sunday. You'll have to go to a prayer meeting. You'll have to wear certain clothes. You'll have to do this and you'll have to do that. And you'll have to do the other thing. And there's resistance. Anything to get you from, to keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. And here is this crowd, this massive crowd. And you can imagine them. And an old blind man. He can't see and he's sitting by the side of the road. And they're trying to talk him down. They're trying to intimidate him. This big crowd. Imagine that. But you know, it doesn't matter because this man's not here by chance. No, sir. They'll not intimidate this man. Because God, the Spirit of God, is working in this man's heart. And you see, when God is working in a man's heart, you can't intimidate him. You can't intimidate him. This man is coming through. This man is like the ripe apple in the tree. You don't have to cut and pluck it. My, the apple's just ready to fall. Lovely. Lovely when that happens. You know, when you lead a soul to the Lord, you don't really lead a soul to the Lord. That soul's, that's already dropping. Soul's already there. Needs a bit of an assurance. Understanding what they've done. Oh, the work of God's grace has been done in the heart. And here's this man. And God is working in his heart. And he says, I'm going to cry out the more. You're not going to intimidate me. You're not going to keep me back from speaking to this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And he cries out, the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now something tells me that this man, somewhere along the line, knew the scripture. First of all, he says, son of David, have mercy on me. Now he just heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. That was all he heard. But this man now, he claims himself that this is the son of David. Thou, son of David, have mercy on me. And in Isaiah 35 and verse 5, we read these words. I'll read the verse 4. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. This is the when the kingdom of Christ would come, this is an Old Testament prophecy, when the kingdom of Christ would come, this is what's going to happen. Verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I believe this man knew the word of God. He had heard it somewhere along the road. And he realized that this is the Son of God. He realized that this is the one who would bring deliverance. The one who would lift the hearing and lift the dumb. Enable the dumb to speak and the blind to see. He cried the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know something? This wee man that the crowd tried to intimidate, he rose up above them. He rose up above them and he got the victory over the crowd. That's what we need to get. We need to get victory over the crowd. And we need to be determined to come to Jesus Christ. There was a great opportunity. He heard a group resistance. And there's this great cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But then there was the gospel call. And preachers talk about the gospel call or the call of the gospel. It says in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, comfort arise. The gospel call is a call that we would make. We would say, tonight, sinner, will you come to Jesus Christ? The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's that general call that I would make and the brother that stands here would make each Sunday. But boy, then there's the personal call. It says, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. On the 31st of August, 1979, he called me at the side of my bed. Oh, the men that I'd heard preaching had given a gospel call. They had told me of my need. And I had to come and accept Christ and explain the gospel to me. But that night at the side of the bed, there was that personal call. That call to the heart. That call that I knew was of God. Remember Samuel? Remember he was called. Samuel, that was God's personal call to that heart. Has God personally called you tonight? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? Not the voice of the preacher, but the voice of the Lord calling to you. It makes a difference. It makes it personal. Because now you're just concerned about your own need and your own salvation. Before, when there was that call, you were thinking, well, that woman there would need to come. That man there, boy, he would need salvation. But now, tonight, that personal call is to you. You're not concerned about anyone else. It's personal. God, the Son of God, is speaking to me. The Son of God is calling me. The Son of God, in his mercy, is asking me to come to him. Here's this personal call. Comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. Before he came to Jesus, he had to do one thing. Cast away the garment. That was the hindrance. That's hard enough to run. In Eastern wear, men wore long sort of skirts. They still do. And it's hard to run in them when you can see. But this man was blind. And that was a serious hindrance to this man. So what does he do? Well, You just lift your skirt up and you tuck it into your girdle. Like that there. At each side. And then your legs are free to run. This man cast away the hindrance. And friends, there's always a hindrance. There's always one person, one somebody, one relationship, one thing that's keeping you back from accepting Jesus Christ. There's always one hindrance. Maybe it's a night out with the girls or a night out with the boys. Maybe it is a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's a fear of what people might say about you. But there's something, isn't there? And you know it. And you maybe said to yourself on times before, boy, if I could get rid of this, I would become a Christian. Some have said, boy, if I could get rid of my alcoholism, if I could get rid of my drug abuse, I would come to the Savior. Friends, you need to come to the Savior, and then that goes. You need to put the cart. You don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you need to put the horse at the front and the cart afterwards. People are running around, they're pushing carts and they're pushing wheelbarrows. Wheelbarrows are sin. You need to leave them behind them. And they need to come to Jesus Christ. This man got rid of his hindrance and he came to Jesus, and we see that it was genuine. Because it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Of course, Jesus knew what he needed. But he was just testing. I like to test people, you know. People, a certain individual came one night and said they wanted to get saved. And I says, what do you want to get saved for? Oh, I don't know. I says, what do you want to get saved for? He didn't know what you wanted to get saved for. That's not salvation. I've been brought along to church tonight. That's not. I want you to pray for my son. He's not well. That's what she wanted. She wanted prayer for her son. She didn't want to come to Jesus Christ at all. But wouldn't I have been foolish showing her the scriptures and leading her down a false pathway? Making a false profession. Jesus says, what do you want? What do you want? Far too much easy believism. Far, far too much. People walk out of the church and they have a testimony. And they go into the world and they're corrupted. Jesus says, what do you want that I should do unto you? He says that I might receive my sight. He told Jesus what was his problem. What was his great need? Why he needed God's mercy? Because he was blind. Why do you need to get saved tonight? Because your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and God. And he's hid his face from you. That's why you need to get saved. Not because you're in a bad relationship. Not because you have some dirty habit. You need to get saved tonight because your sin is heinous in the sight of God. And it has separated between you and God's mercy. And we need to repent of that sin. And what happened? There was complete deliverance. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made the whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. What a tremendous story. A true story. A story that has been preached down through the years. And a story that many, many people can relate to tonight. Can you? Can you? You're blind, the Bible tells us. But do you want to be made whole? Do you want God's mercy? Do you want God's cleansing? Do you want God's forgiveness tonight? Well, praise God, there's cleansing for you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, as he went through Jericho, he was on his way to the cross. And we know what happened at the cross. We sing that lovely hymn at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed his precious blood for my sin, for my iniquity, for your sin, and for your iniquity. Are you not saved tonight? Do you not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you not come in repentance? Well, my tonight can be the night. May God bless his word to your hearts for Jesus' sake.